Right now, we are discussing the words of a top general who says we need to get ready to send in UK troops for IS fight to the finish. He's a former head of the army. Last night, called for David Cameron to think the unthinkable and prepare to send in around 5,000 British ground troops to fight Islamic State. Well, joining us now is the author of the piece actually in the Mail on Sunday today, and that is Lord Richard Dannett himself, the former chief of the General Staff. Good afternoon to you, Lord Dannett.
Patrick, good afternoon.
Okay, so you've kicked up a bit of a storm here, if you don't mind my saying. Everybody's talking about it this morning. What's so radical about what you're saying?
I don't think anything's terribly radical, other than the fact we've got to confront, we're facing a very difficult set of circumstances. If we just look to see what's happened in the Iraq-Syria area over the last few weeks, it had seemed, up till two or three weeks ago, that the American-led coalition policy of airstrikes supporting indigenous ground forces was probably working. After all, they managed to recapture Tikrit. But then we've seen IS take Ramadi. We've seen IS move in and capture Palmyra, that iconic historic site. And it would seem that the previous policy of hoping that airstrikes in support of indigenous troops would work, but it's not working. Therefore, what I'm suggesting in the article that I wrote for the Mail on Sunday is that if this is important and the coalition objective is the defeat and the destruction of ISIL, we've been doing currently, is not working, we've then got to think about how we're going to make this work. And it may be that just hoping to support indigenous troops on the ground is not going to work, and their influence will spread and increase. After all, their objective is to establish this caliphate right across the historic spread of Islam's influence up to the 14th and 15th century. So maybe we've got to think about doing what we really don't want to do, but to say if this is important, you've got to think about it and maybe stop it.
A lot of people, Lord Dannett, will be saying, well, look, there are closer neighbours to this rogue state than us, and we should be leaving it to them. In other words, why haven't the Arab world got involved in this to a greater degree?
Well, I completely agree with that, and it's absolutely in their interest because this is on their doorstep. Why haven't they done that? It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that if we're taking this threat seriously, and it's a global threat, a generational threat, as our Prime Minister has said, then maybe the very least that he's got to do in order not to have to send British troops is to put more pressure on leaders in the region to do more, to do more to back up the Iraqis, back up the Peshmerga, get the Jordanians and others really, really involved so we don't have to send British troops. I don't want to do that. But what I do know is this issue is not going to go away if everybody sits on their hands and does nothing.
One criticism, of course, you will face for writing this piece is that you are, as you've put in your own words, gung-ho army man, that fighting is in your blood.
Of course, that's exactly why I said that I'm not. I was the army chief when we were in Iraq and lost 179 of our people. And for part of the time we were in Afghanistan, we lost 450 of our people. But I think what we've got to do is look at these issues, and if they're that important, they've got to be dealt with. I would like to find every other which way we possibly can not to send British troops. But if it takes an article like the one I wrote to galvanise opinion, to say what should we be doing just so that we don't have to send British troops, then I think I've achieved something. But on the other hand, what I'm saying is that if other strategies, other practices, if other policies don't work, we may have to send British troops. So the Ministry of Defence needs to be thinking about that and starting to prepare our people if we have to do it, which is why I say in the article, preparing is one thing, committing them to deploy is another, and that's a second-order set of decisions. I don't want to do this, but equally, I know that if we do nothing in the Middle East, or not enough in the Middle East, then this problem is going to get worse and expand, and we'll have to confront it at some stage.
What's different about this to Iraq and Afghanistan? Because, of course, my callers this afternoon, Lord Dannett, have been saying, look, we've gone into regions before, we've messed it up before, we've left too early, we haven't done a good job. You know, that is an absolute proof we should not be getting involved with IS. What's different here?
What's different here is that the Iraqi government, take Iraq, for example, and a large proportion of the Iraqi people don't want this Islamic State, don't want this ISIL influence. All I'm saying that we've got to do, and it's a big all, is that we've got to achieve the objective of defeating and destroying ISIL. If the Iraqis, with elements of the Syrian opposition, with elements of the Peshmerga and other people in the area, can do this, that is good. If we were to get involved, and I don't want us to get involved, but if we have to get involved, there's no question of us staying and running those countries. The Iraqi government is perfectly capable of doing it once they've sorted out their security situation. There needs to be a different government in Syria, because after all, the West has been saying that President Assad should go, been saying that for the last 3 or 4 years. There's got to be a different government there. So we're not going there to stay to run those countries. What we are doing is to deal with this, I think we have to all accept, extraordinary evil force. We've carried out beheadings and all the other things that have been filling our screens over the last year or two. If they can't deal with it locally, and it's got to be dealt with, they may need our help to go in to do a job, but not to stay.
Politically, though, this is, if you excuse the words I'm going to use, is a minefield, isn't it? Because to persuade the British people that this is something we need to do is going to be extremely politically poisonous, isn't it?
That's exactly why the conclusion of the article that I wrote in the Mail on Sunday is we need to have a debate. If we have a national debate and decide we don't want to do this, at least we've thought about it and decided not to do it, as opposed to just drift into, oh, my goodness, the situation's getting worse. Shouldn't we have done something before? This is the time to think about it and decide what we should be doing. The worst case of response from us, which I really don't want to get on the track of, is deploying a British force of 5,000 onto the ground. Much better that we do everything else we possibly can to assist people locally, on the ground and from the air, diplomatic moves, giving them training, giving them equipment, so they can deal with it themselves. If they can't, then we've got a problem. So at least let's have that debate and make sure that our government, the United States government and other governments are energised enough to really grip this problem rather than just sit on our hands, watch our television screens and see it getting worse.
Except that Liam Fox, of course, this morning was saying that we must be led by the US if we were to go into the region, and it is unlikely to happen under President Obama.
I completely agree with that. So in America, in the White House, they can sit in their chairs and watch their television screens, and they can watch what's happening. As I say in the article in the Mail, of course, people in the United States are separated by the Atlantic from these issues. They may feel it's even less of their interests, less of their business than we might feel that. Again, that's something that they've got to think about. But of course, they have to remember 9/11 happened in their country, just as 7/7 happened in our country. So what happens overseas does have repercussions at home. This issue of this fundamental Islamist movement is not going to go away by wishful thinking and inactivity. People have got to really galvanise their thinking. Leaders have really got to galvanise their thinking and say, how are we going to be active and proactive to sort this problem out? Because it's not going to go away on its own, and economic sanctions and diplomatic movements will not settle it.
General Lord Dannett, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. It's been a pleasure talking to you, former Chief of the General Staff.